Hello, you sick freak. Welcome to our podcast for Tuesday. We talked a lot about the border today because it's on fire. Or as they like to say, south of the border, en fuego, huh? we start with a really interesting story on, the southern border. And it kind of morphs all the way through the show because it is on such fire. We have Tim Ballard, who's at the border, telling us what it's really like. We end the podcast with Karen Vaughn, who is this amazing Gold Star mother who's just down on the border. And she is sick and tired of what is happening. And she's actually giving you some solutions on that.
You know who else is giving solutions? Cory Booker.
Cory Booker, he's great.
Oh.
Well, not so great as much as horrible.
He will be on the Socialist Spotlight tonight. That's the program. We've been doing this for, four or five candidates now.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're doing all the candidates, kind of a profile of all the things that you need to know. Tonight is Cory Booker. If you go to blazetv.com/Glenn and use the promo code Glenn, you will save some money. And you'll also be able to see this entire series as they develop. We've done Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders,
Kamala Harris, yeah,
Cory Booker, maybe one or two others, I don't remember, but they're all really good, and it's a lot of information you're not seeing from the mainstream media.
And Cory Booker, as we will get into a little bit today and tomorrow's podcast, Cory Booker is not as Spartacus as he would have you believe. That and so much more on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
When the migrant caravans cross the river and the international bridge, Aiden Lopez springs into action. He shuts down his shop and takes cover. Like many merchants along the southern border, Lopez, 59, said his business is suffering due to a recent escalation in crime committed by migrants. Many of them are now calling for the Mexican government to shut its doors. Oh, I forgot to tell you, the southern border I'm talking about is the southern border of Mexico. This is how bad things are on the Mexican border. Lopez, 59, owns a stall selling blue jeans in this city of nearly 15,000 people on the southern tip of Mexico. Since last October, thousands of mostly Central American asylum seekers have overwhelmed his city, which is just steps from a bridge connecting Mexico to Guatemala. With no other place to go, many camp out in the town square and beg. We know, he says, they're not all bad people. But when they started to come through, there was suddenly a lot of robberies and assaults. So now we've got a multitude crossing the border. We just closed the shop. At first, many tried to help the migrants by distributing food and water. But when they started arriving by the tens of thousands, local merchants were overwhelmed. Now they're asking us for help, and we can't help everyone. This is from an owner of an outdoor restaurant in the town square where recently arrived migrants from Central America and Haiti beg for food, beg for water. We have a lot of migrants and they've caused a lot of problems here, Garcia, 61, told the reporter. They've robbed and assaulted people. We have a dead person here or a dead person over there. They're constantly begging. They urinate in the streets and we know they're human beings. We know they don't have a place to go, but we don't want them here anymore. A spike in crime is forcing shopkeepers to close before dark, keeping tourists away. It's sad what's happening in our town. We can't receive in our home people that we don't know anything about. Let me say that one again. This is again from a Mexican citizen on the Mexican southern border. We cannot receive in our home who we don't know anything about. Last week, in Mexico, the regional chamber of commerce accused the Central American gangs of committing most of the city's crimes. We have a lot of problems at the southern border, he said. Truly sad that this could cost us the development of the entire region. With no place to stay and few resources, thousands of migrant camps outside of the Federal Immigration Detention Center there in Mexico, waiting for documents that will allow them to cross through central Mexico to get to America. Some live in the main square. They hang their wet laundry on park fences and they sleep on sidewalks. At the immigration center, pregnant women lie on the concrete pavement and desperate parents beg passersby for food for their children. Last week, dozens clamored around a blue pickup carrying crates of bananas that were being handed out by a local priest. This is what's happening on the southern border of Mexico. I got a call last night. It's just as bad on our border. And we have to have a conversation about this. Stu, is a prediction an endorsement? Because I don't.
Is a prediction? So, well, no, because you could predict something terrible, right? And not be endorsing.
Correct. So endorsing. Before I say this, I want to make sure I'm not hurting Donald Trump's chances of being reelected.
Oh, no.
Because if I endorse someone, it's the kiss of death. We know that.
We know that's true.
We know that's true.
That's
whoever
not a prediction.
I say,
that's fact.
The guy I'm for, doomed.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to endorse Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to make a prediction. Stop me if you think this hurts.
I'm stopping you. I'm stopping you for 100 different reasons. But you are, how about this? Can you assign it to someone else? Can you say, I was in a Dunkin' Donuts yesterday.
I was in a Dunkin' Donuts yesterday, and I heard some, just some homeless guy talking, mumbling,
and
saying crazy things.
Will totally believe, obviously, that you were in a Dunkin' Donuts yesterday. So this is a very...
Wait a minute, you didn't need to make this about
fatness. You could have said one of any 7 or 8 Dunkin' Donuts you were in
yesterday. All right. Anyway, I think the way the Democrats have handled this, they own the border. They own it. And when people see the humanitarian crisis, when they see the sex slave industry that is being grown by the Democrats to biblical proportions, when they see the chaos, when they see the damage to the churches and to the businesses and to the towns and to the American cities all across our southern border, the devastation and the blight that is coming, Donald Trump wins the next election. Because I don't care what anybody says, even the economy may be blamed on the border crisis in 18 months. Texas right now stands to lose 292,000 jobs and $32 billion just in trade over the next 18 months because of the slowdown on the border. Now, here's what's happening. We have, these trucks that are coming in, and they're coming from Mexico and Central America. Well, all those trucks, they got across the border, so we have our cheap goods that we buy in Walmart and our fruits and vegetables and everything else that we buy from South America. So as these trucks are coming across the border, there are not enough inspectors because the inspectors are busy setting up cots. The inspectors are busy out trying to stop people from coming where they're not coming through a port of entry. So we can't inspect the trucks fast enough. And because of this slowdown, prices are going to go through the roof. People are going to lose their jobs. China will just eat that. The loss up for us. They'll just start producing it. If we are sending things across the border, it's also in slowdown there. Because Mexico is slowing down too. Because Mexico is draining its resources. Now, I don't really care what happens to Mexico in many ways because they brought it upon themselves. That's their problem. Our problem is here, our towns, our children.
And their problems getting worse makes our problems at the border worse because more people want to run away.
Correct. This is just going to cascade. This is going to go to where, I mean, I talked about this off air for a very long time. I don't even know if I've said it on air before. We are headed towards a time when you will see massive rushes. I think I've been saying this since I was in Israel. Massive rushes across our southern border. It will get to the point where people will be killing farmers for food, and then it will turn into killing farmers for the land, and they'll say, this is my land. You stole it from us centuries ago. And they'll just start claiming land. And it's going to happen. How are the police in these border towns expected to survive? Do you realize that right now the federal government, because of the Democrats not funding security, right now in, let's just say, pick a city, Las Cruces, New Mexico. I just got a call from, what's his name? Tim Ballard last night. He was in New Mexico. He said, Glenn, do you realize that they are dumping 1,000 people a day in this small town? In 24 days, that increases your population by 24,000. 24,000. And they have nothing. They don't have food. They don't have water. They don't have a place to stay. They have no money. What are those towns supposed to do? Well, all of the churches right now, they're all setting up because they got to be compassionate. So what do? You set up your gym and your church and your churchyard, and you put tents up, and, you know, we'll try to get you water and food. They can't survive. The churches are broke. The cities now are having to take money from other funds. So what are you going to do? What are you going to take it from? Policing? How many of your police right now are working in border towns just to keep up with the 1,000 people a day our federal government is just busing in, opening up the doors and saying, you're on your own? Because that's what they have to do. These women and children. These women and children that are given names from bad guys on the other side of the border. By the way, when you get across, somebody will become looking for you. That's his name. He's your uncle. And what are the churches supposed to do when the churches know that guy is not a good guy? That guy is going to put that child in jeopardy. What are the churches supposed to do? Are they supposed to stand up to the bad guy and say, you're not taking this child? It's happening all the time. These cities and these churches are collapsing on our border. They have nothing more to give. It's exactly what's happening on the southern border of Mexico, except it's happening here in America. And what are we doing? We're talking about the frickin' Mueller report still. You Democrats are out of your mind. You're out of your mind. You're telling us about all the different genders. I am telling you a massive loss is coming when what's happening at our border is exposed. Because there is no compassion from the left. There is no compassion. What they're doing is destroying lives on all sides. We have to have compassion, and we have to have rule of law. And if the right can do those two things, Donald Trump wins an overwhelming victory. More in a second. You know, I just want to, can we just go over for a second? Let's make a list of the things that the Democrats are so out of touch with the average American person. Okay. Venezuela. They're on the wrong side of Venezuela.
Clearly, I think.
Okay. clearly on the wrong side of Venezuela. The free market and socialism. Now, that one's not as clear because so many people hate capitalism now. But once people really get that, that they really are about the end of the free market system, that is going to be horrible for them.
And it's definitely what Republicans believe. There's a story today about Republicans praying for Bernie Sanders to be the candidate because they think they can beat him.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It's scary, though. I mean, it is if scary. You lose, the stakes are even higher than another candidate.
The border, MS-13, they said that's nothing to worry about. Now they're making a big deal out of MS-13.
Yeah, they said Donald Trump was hyping MS-13.
The border, they're the ones saying that there wasn't a crisis. Mm-hmm. We need to show them the crisis. Israel, they're on the side of the Palestinians and anti-Israel. Not just on the side of the Palestinians, anti-Israel. On CARE, on the Philadelphia story, that they were nowhere to be found on this story that came out yesterday about this mosque in Philadelphia having this little pageant with kids where they were taught to sing songs and recite poetry about beheading the infidels and washing Jerusalem in blood. I mean, it's intense. Can you think of anything else? What are the things that have said lately that you've thought, this is insane? I can't believe they're taking this stand. Is no one seeing it? When I saw the Philadelphia thing, they don't care. But, you know, the average person's not going to see that one.
No.
When I saw where their stance is on Venezuela, the average people, you know, they are going to see Venezuela.
I mean, Ilhan Omar with her anti-Semitism, it was a big one. Some of these stances that the Democrats are taking, I mean, you look at, you know, expanding the Supreme Court, abolishing the Electoral College, Medicare for all, more, you know, reparations. The late term abortion thing is one that we could spend a lot of time on.
Silencing speech. I'm just writing this down. I mean, late term abortion is another great one.
Yeah, I mean, late term abortion. There are no candidates, as far as I know. There's 21 candidates in this field. We always hear what a diverse field. 21 candidates in this field. I don't think there's any of them that have come out against abortions up till the last second before birth. There's not one. They couldn't find one candidate in the field who was like, no, only 8.5 months. None of them. Not one. I mean, that's incredible. This is a party that used to actually have people in it who were pro-life. This is, and we're going back a ways now. But I mean, people who actually would be pro-life Democrats. I mean, do you remember when we did, Bart Stupak? Do you remember that name? This is back from the Obama days. He was the guy, one of the guys who was a congressman. And he was very pro-life, supposedly, despite his, you know.
Oh, that's right.
And then he came up with a Stupak amendment, and that was what got Obamacare through.
Passed.
Yeah, it was this big thing. And he was.
How are you feeling about that, Bart?
I mean, if he actually was pro-life, and who knows if he's just putting on a face for voters, but I mean, if he actually was, he's got to be incredibly disappointed.
Disappointed?
It's gone completely the opposite way of what was promised to him. And it's no surprise to anyone except him at the time.
All right. We are going to talk to you a little bit about the border and what we need to do. We need to organize ourselves, quite honestly, and begin to expose the human toll and the human cost of our border out of control. We begin that today, and we're going to need you to help spread the word. Trump needs the money for the wall.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and if you like what you hear on the program, you should check out Pat Gray Unleashed. His podcast is available wherever you download your favorite podcast.
But I heard you lying about what's going on at the border. I can't let it stand.
You gotta laugh.
I was giggling to myself.
Yeah, right. Lies are so apparent.
Yeah, obvious. Yeah. I mean, just blatant, obvious lies.
Like what?
Like some of these people are increasing crime along the border.
Well,
we all know the it can't happen. These are good, decent, hardworking family people. That's who's coming across the border.
Hey, Pat, let me just may I just interrupt?
Many of these people are up for sainthood. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Let me ask you this. Some of them actually might be, but even if they were, even if they were the best, you ever read Victor Hugo's Les Miserables?
I have. Yes.
Okay, so you know Jean Valjean. He broke a window to steal a loaf of bread because his sister's child was starving.
None of these people are that evil. None of them are that evil.
Not one of them.
No.
Wow. Because when you dump 1,000 people into a small town every single day, another 1,000 come in.
You imagine that? That's
no town can survive that.
No way.
And no country can survive
1.5 million people you don't know coming in.
Of course not.
Every year.
Let me ask you this: you dump 1,000 people into a town, even if they're all saints, at one point. Those 1,000 people in a town of 15,000 or 20,000, and they don't have anything, and you're in your home, and you've got your job, and you've got your food, they're starving. What do you think happens even to the best of people?
You don't have to guess, because we do see it going on.
Jeez.
And it's going on in Mexico. The Mexicans who were welcoming them with open arms as they crossed the border and were helping them and feeding them and giving them water and places to go to the bathroom and all these things, medical care, they're a little less welcoming now.
Yeah, they are.
A little less welcoming. And, I mean, there's story after story about how, okay, enough. After a while, you just can't sustain it. They're talking, Democrats talking about sustainability every day.
Wait a minute.
This is unsustainable.
Wait a minute. Are you saying it's like if your country is a lifeboat, if you don't control it, people will swamp the lifeboat and you'll all die?
What a concept.
What a concept.
It seems to be a concept that Democrats can't understand, though. As this is going on, and as people see this happening every single day, you know, and I heard you guys talking about this a few minutes ago, the open borders, that's what they want. They want open borders. They want to eliminate ICE. I mean, you're going to eliminate ICE during this crisis?
I think when people understand this crisis, I'm going down to the border this weekend and bring some cameras, and I'm going to show you what I see. Remember, the last time I did this, we saw what? Oh, children in cages.
Yeah.
Children in cages. And because we went down with a heart, we had credibility when those cages were exposed by that evil Donald Trump. We were able to say, no. No, we exposed those under Obama. You didn't care. And we exposed them as not caring. And when you care and you're consistent, it's not about political, you win.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going down this weekend to the border because these churches, Pat, are absolutely collapsing.
Oh, I believe it.
The towns are collapsing. How are they going to survive? They don't have the food and the water. So the local American citizens who have been abandoned by the Democrats in Congress, abandoned by our elected officials, what are they doing?
They don't care because they're in Washington, D.C.
They don't care.
And they're not being swamped by illegal immigration in Washington, D.C.
Can you imagine?
Well, they care.
Can you imagine if their homes were swamped and they had to fight their way out of their guarded, gated community?
Jeez.
Can you imagine how fast this would change?
Oh, it would change immediately. Immediately. Almost none of these people are from border states. Let alone residing there now. They're all in D.C., but most of them are not even from a border state. They don't know what they're talking about when they talk about immigration.
So how do you solve this? Because people will... The left, if the left figures out a way to get down there and play to the heart, they will win. Because right now we're playing to the head. And if they get down there and they play to the heart, they will win again. Even though they've caused this crisis, they will win again. We have to be leading on the aid in Venezuela. We have to lead that because we will have the credibility. Millennials want to help. They mm-hmm. want to see people actually mm-hmm. doing things to help. What are we for? I'll tell you what we're for. We are for a country that is leading with aid, but leading also with law and order. We are looking for a country that is just trying to, that is using common sense. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not what we have right now. And, you know, what are we for? I'm for the rule of law, and I'm for helping people. That's what I'm for. Democrats are not for rule of law, and quite honestly, they are not for helping people.
And we've talked about this before. I think we went about this the wrong way from the beginning because we're opposed to illegal immigration. We should have been for legal immigration.
Yes.
The whole time. For legal immigration and for the people who are coming across the border, learning the language so that they can climb the ladder in this country.
We should not have been against gay marriage. We should have been against marriage being a certificate from the government.
Right. Yeah, that would
the government has no place in anyone's marriage.
And every time we approach it from a negative, we lose.
We lose. We lose.
We've seen
here's
that time what, after time.
Here's what we need to do. We are for the rule of law, but we are also for American cities not going bankrupt because the mm-hmm. government, the federal government, has dropped the ball. We are not for our churches going down in bankruptcy. We are for our communities being able to have our churches be the ones that everyone relies on. But when they are swamped, we need to help them. And at the same time, we need to stand up strongly. I'm telling you, Pat, when people really understand the full effects of what's going on the border, because they made such a big deal of, you know, Jim Acosta is going to be, he's going to be the poster child. What crisis on the border? That's going to be the poster child. That should be played every day from here until the end of the election.
Sure should.
Because when they made such a big deal that there wasn't a crisis, a humanitarian crisis, and now there is.
And they're mostly admitting it now, even the New York Times.
Yes. And if we are the ones that lead with the heart and the message, fund the government. Fund the government for the border. Give the money so we have the resources on the border to stop the insanity. If we're saying that, and we're the ones that had the heart that were there helping Americans and helping those truly in need, we will win. We will win. And Trump will walk away with a huge victory. Huge victory.
And you're right. I think that was proven a few years ago when we went down there and delivered toys and food to the kids at Christmas time. Because we got a lot of flack for that initially. But like you said, it also lent credibility that, you know, we do care. We're not haters.
We're the only ones with credibility when it came back around.
Yeah.
We're the only ones with credibility. And you know what? It's not even about toys. This is about water. This is about water. The towns, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Put yourself in a border town in the United States of America, and you get a busload of 1,000 immigrants a
day. Every day.
Now, can you imagine if the rest of the country was like, well, you'll have to deal with it. You'd be like, I'm an American too.
Yeah.
I'm not for this. What are you talking about? Help me.
Well, this goes back to a proposal that was floated by Trump a couple of weeks ago. And everyone thought was so hateful that you'd bring these illegal immigrants to sanctuary cities and drop them off there. Instead
that's
of
where they should
towns.
Go. Exactly. That's where they should go.
I don't understand why this is a hateful policy. Instead, you're dumping them in small towns where they have absolutely no resources to deal with them at all. I mean, and again, how many times have we been told by the left that the sanctuary cities are the only people who actually have compassion? Well, if that's true, you can drop them off there. A city like San Francisco has far more resources than a border town.
And they claim they want them.
And they say that they want them. I think that
Good.
He should post a sign-up list.
Yeah.
Post a sign-up list online, and all the mayors can go and rush to the sign-up list and post which towns they are.
Wouldn't that be fascinating?
To see how many would sign up.
How
to
many
take,
would
to take
sign up for that? How many will take 1,000 a day?
Yeah, some of them have said, like Seattle said, we want them, bring them. And like they can be first on the sign-up list. And I think Americans would on both sides of the aisle would be happy to say whatever extended travel cost there was, they're moving them anyway, whatever extended travel cost there was would be worth it because here's a city that is actually advocating to help them with all their basic needs.
Can you imagine what would happen to Seattle?
If they got 30,000 a month?
Yeah.
Again, 30,000 a month in a town like Seattle, that's just a good...
It should be fine for them.
It should be fine for them. It should be able to handle it. Yeah. And I think...
Portland.
Like, part of this, too, comes off as a troll. Like, you're just like, oh, yeah, well, then you take them. That's not how I'm saying this. I mean, legitimately, these towns are saying they
want
them.
Thing. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. We have said the same thing about abortion. We'll adopt them. Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Well, then we're going to stop. We're going to give you those babies. Okay. Okay. We actually believe it. Okay.
Yeah, there's another
thing. We'll take them.
The Second Amendment had this at one point, too, where I think it was Sarah Silverman, the comedian. She was like, well, oh, you guys want gun rights, huh? Well, let's get guns to black people. And we're like, okay, that sounds fantastic. It's also part of their constitutional rights. They absolutely should have them whenever they need them.
Show how racist she is?
Yes, it does show how racist she is.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, it's fascinating. I mean, like, that is something, if they really believe these things, and I think some of them do.
Guns to black people.
That was their big, in your face moment. They thought they had us on
like
that
who?
One. Like we started charities to get guns to black people.
It was the it was the Democrats that repealed the gun rights under the Jim Crow laws.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Against black people.
If you could, you could ask Martin Luther King Jr.
Yes.
As he attempted to get a gun permit and could not get one because of the laws that the Democrats set up in the racist South.
Right.
So,
that's crazy. You know.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Tim Ballard, you know him as the founder of the and CEO of Operation Underground Railroad. He is also the CEO of the Nazarene Fund, but he has spent a decade working as a special agent for the Department of Homeland Security, where he was assigned to the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. He was also an undercover operative for the U.S. Child Sex Tourism Jump Team. He has dismantled human trafficking rings of all over the world. He is on the border. He called me last night with something I didn't expect to ever hear from Tim Ballard. Glenn, we've been to Bangkok. We've been to some of the worst places in the world. I can't believe what I'm seeing on our own border in America. Welcome to the program, Tim Ballard.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks for having me on.
So, Tim, first of all, where are you? And describe the scene.
This is, like you said, we've been all over the world seeing these a crisis where children are being used and abused in the worst ways. It's happening right here in our country. And it's, you know, who the defense is. It's the churches. It's the local communities who are running to help because our policies don't support a child rescue right now. In fact, our policies are incentivizing traffickers to utilize the system. So we are right now, we are in between El Paso and Las Cruces, New Mexico. There's 13 churches that we are here to train. They need training. They called us and said, please come help us. We know these children are being trafficked. We think a lot of these kids that are being dumped daily at our churches, 1,000 a day to one church, network in New Mexico. And they said, look, we see these kids. We don't think these kids belong to their parents. The people claiming to be their parents, but we don't know what to do. We don't know how to train them, what to tell them. In essence, what's happening is this, and I went down, I talked to a lot of these people who are being helped by these churches. What's happening is there's literally, and I have intel from Guatemala, from my guys on the ground, there's radio ads, okay, for smugglers advertising. We can get you into the United States. Just sign up here, get on the bus, and then they give them two things, Glenn. If they don't have a child, they give them a child that they've kidnapped from some place. They're recycling these kids. Once they get them through, they'll bring them back south, and they pair children up with the people who pay money to the smugglers. And then they give them a name, if they don't have a name of a sponsor, and say, when you get there, show the name to the customs official, and with a name in hand, the person claiming to be the sponsor, and a child in hand, they get released immediately. And then the only people there to take care of them and to do any kind of vetting or helping them with supplies are these churches. And these are the greatest people on the planet. They're not political. They're frustrated that the government's not supporting the efforts. But they've run because they see children in need, and that's why we're here. We're here to train them, to teach them what to look for. And I mean, Glenn, I saw this five-year-old kid yesterday, and I talked to him. I asked him what his name was. I asked him who his dad was. He pointed me to a man. I walked over to the man. Hey, what's your kid's name? Gave me a different name. And so we're making efforts right now to make sure this kid doesn't end up with the quote-unquote sponsor who's going to be a trafficker. Okay, we are, our system is facilitating trafficking events. It is absolutely insane. And when you consider the fact, yeah.
I want to ask you if you can talk about the two areas of the country that they are going to, that they seem to be concentrating in two areas. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's two cities that a lot of them are going to, Atlanta and North Dakota. And this is very concerning. Because Atlanta is one of the highest trafficking cities in the United States, if not the highest. And then in North Dakota, they're building the pipeline, and even the church folks actually pointed this out to me. They're like, and they actually rescued one of the little girls. They did some follow up work on their own, and realized that these kids were being sent to North Dakota because they're there to sexually service the workers on the pipeline. So, but this is just a small group of Christian volunteers who are trying to play intel analyst and rescue children on their own because the kids are just dumped on them.
And the Homeland Security or the Border Patrol, they can't do anything, can they? Because of the way the Democrats have set the laws up.
Exactly right. They want to do something, but the policies in place say when that kid comes in, if they have a kid in their hands, you have to let them go right away, 20 days max. But they don't even have time to wait the 20 days because the next 1,000 are coming in the next hour. So they can't do anything. They have to. Our laws are forcing them to just drop them off. And luckily the churches have come and said, well, where are you going to drop them off? We'll make sure we're there, and we'll take them, and we'll do the job that Congress won't let you do. We'll try to do it ourselves. We'll try to vet these kids. We'll try to feed these kids. We'll try to give them food and water.
How are these with 1,000 a day new in 12 days? That's 12,000 people. That's a small city. How are these cities handling this here in the United States? I read a story today where they're just using taxpayer dollars. They're going into their city funds and they're cutting other things because they have to provide water. They have to they have to police it. They have to do something, and they don't have any money to do it.
That's right. They are busting at the seams. You know, the state of New Mexico was generous enough to provide a mobile medical unit. So all the kids that we get, we're taking them to make sure they're okay, to check them for diseases, checking them for sexually transmitted diseases. I mean, Glenn, I met a woman yesterday who she couldn't pay the passage. She was trying to get out of Guatemala because her daughter was being hounded by traffickers, which I know is the case. I know that these are true stories. And so she said, I got to get out, but I couldn't pay the fare. So you know what she had to do? She had to be raped 6 times along the path from Guatemala to the border. That was her pay to the traffickers, to the smugglers. And then they come here, and now we're servicing them. We're checking for STDs. We're getting them medicines. I mean, and this is the community. This is the churches mostly, and they're busting at the seams, and they need help. They need help. They need financial help to provide medicine for these children, for these abused women. They need food, and they need more manpower to do the vetting, to do the job that Congress isn't doing. Basically, to vet these kids and make sure that they don't get sent down the path to some sex trafficker in Atlanta or North Dakota or anywhere else in the United States.
So why are these towns being selected for the buses just to come and just dump them into the society? Do you know?
The proximity to the border. I mean, that's just the towns that are closest to the border, and then the churches who are there that raise their hand and say, we will take them. If no one else will take them, we will take them. These people are unbelievable, Glenn, these Christian folks that I've been working with, and they are unbelievable. They are.
I mean, they don't have a choice. No. If you're Christians, you don't really have a choice. Because, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to dump them off on the side of the road someplace where they get no food, no water, they get nothing?
That's right. And they're just doing their Christian duty. And I mean, they're in tears. These people, they're 12 hours a day. I mean, they don't go home, and they're volunteering their time. And it's just unbelievable to watch this. And they're just helping these children who are just, they come in just tattered and torn. It's a sight to see. I never thought I'd see this in this country. What we're seeing.
So, Tim, I'm going to go down to the border with you this weekend and see what's going on and see these towns and see these churches. These churches are not part of the problem, are they? I mean, some of these, we just have to make sure that the churches, they're not the ones that are holding their hand up and saying open borders.
Not at all. No, in fact, if they don't even want to talk about their, you know, when we get into politics or anything, they're saying, you know what, we're just helping these kids. That's all we're worried about. No, these are not open border churches. They don't have those. They don't carry any kind of political philosophy other than their only philosophy is love one another. And these kids are in need, and we are going to stand for them if no one else will. That's okay. It.
Here's the thing. We are going to open up the Nazarene Fund and Mercury One. I don't want to put this through the Nazarene Fund. Do you, Tim? This should go through Mercury One.
No, it's
right?
Mercury One. I talked to the executive director yesterday. It's going to be Mercury One. If you go to mercuryone.org right now, there's a banner that is placed up for this humanitarian crisis. You'll see it. It's clear, and we need help now.
And we're going to help those churches with some basics, from water and some food and things that they just cannot.
And medicine.
Medicine. Yeah. They just can't afford on their own anymore. So they don't collapse under the weight. And then also, will some of this money go to fund your work to make sure that we catch the bad guys that are using these children?
Absolutely. That's why we're here right now, is to train more volunteers. And get more manpower on the border.
But you're going we spoke last night, and I know you can't get into it, but you're going a step further than just training how to spot. We're going to go into the interior and catch these bad guys, are we not?
Yeah, we have a plan. We're working with Homeland Security Investigations, whose job it is to find trafficking organizations. We have a very, very awesome plan in place. I can't get into details, of course, but to go in and look, when we find these trafficking organizations who are responsible for this in our big cities, we're going to find other children, American children, who are already stuck in this as well. So this is going to lead us down these rabbit holes that will allow us to bust up other trafficking rings that have existed in this country for decades, probably.
Tim, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again
soon.
Thank you, man. You bet. Bye-bye. Tim Ballard, the founder and CEO of Operation Underground Railroad and the CEO of the Nazarene Fund. And I've never heard the desperation in his voice like I heard last night, because he had been talking to people in these towns who are like, we're crushed. We don't know what to do. We have no idea what to do. We can't afford this. And our government has abandoned us. So there's two things we have to do. One, the head. We need to support Donald Trump's efforts on the border. We need to forthrightly stand again and be heard leading the charge for the border to be secured. We can't let that fall by the wayside, because it's invisible to most Americans today, but it is a massive, massive problem. And if we don't fix this quickly, at 1,000 people a day being dropped off in some of these cities, think of how fast that adds up, because that's just one city, 1,000 people a day. How are they going to do it? We must have the border secured. And let me tell you, Democrats, you are going to lose the next election. and you deserve every bit of it. But you're going to lose in a spectacular way if the American people connect their head and their heart. We need to go down and help these cities and help these churches so they have at least water for people. We need to expose it, and we need to send the message, secure the border. If you would like to help us, please go to mercury1.org. That's mercury1.org. We will break up these rings. These guys are coming in here, and they are positioning themselves all across the country to be able to have a new sex trafficking ring. And our government is responsible for it. Those in the Democratic Party who have been saying there's not a problem, open borders, that have caused this crisis, you, the judgment on your head because of what's happening to children is going to be a price much higher than the loss of the next election. If you would like to help us, please go to mercury1.org. That's mercury1.org.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
We have Karen Vaughn on with us. She is the mother of a fallen Navy SEAL, Aaron Carson Vaughn. He was part of SEAL Team 6. He was killed in action in Afghanistan when his chopper carrying 30 Americans was shot from the sky, rushing into battle. It put Karen on a new path, and she's here to talk to us about it. Hi, Karen. How are you?
I'm good, Glenn. How are you?
I'm good. Tell me about how your journey is going.
You know, life without a child, after you bury a child, is complicated. It is. There's never a moment where you feel like you've gotten past that, or there's never going to be a door closed on that. And like, oh, that was just a chapter of my life. You struggle every single day just trying to figure out the new normal, and you miss that person every single day of your life. But
I think,
you
know,
God has been good.
I think about this
Go
with
ahead,
my.
I'm sorry.
I think about this with my kids all the time, especially with them entering teenage years now, and the suicide rate that's going through the roof with teenagers, and I just cannot get my arms around what it is like or what it must be like to lose a child. I don't know how I would deal with it.
Glenn, you know, there's nobody knows how they would deal with it. I used to think that people who lost a child, surely God only put that on people who weren't that close to their children or didn't really
have a real
maternal or paternal instinct. Because I thought, how could anybody that felt like I did about my kids, you know, coached them in their peewee baseball leagues and basketball leagues and, you know, went to church with them, you know, every time the doors open and led their youth groups. And, you know, I just thought that couldn't happen to someone like me because I couldn't survive it. But the truth is that we're all very, very much stronger than we think we are, and we can get through anything, as you've proven time and time again, Glenn. You know, we're strong people, and it's always mind over matter, right? When struggles or, you know, attacks from people or different things pop up in our lives, we figure out a way to overcome them because we're made a lot tougher than we think we are. So that's how you get through it, just one day at a time, and you keep figuring it out, you know.
So you've done the Moms for America and the Moms March movement. Is really kind of your what your hole filler?
Here it is. It's simple for me. And Glenn, I don't know if you remember, we got to talk back in 2017 when I released my book about Aaron, World Changer, and mm-hmm. I got to sit with you in your studio for an hour and do your show. And, you know, I just love chatting with you because you've been a victor for America. You started a revolution about exposing the dangers that were threatening our society. And I want you to know, I said this to you before, but I want you to know that my son, who was a big, badass, tough Navy SEAL, member of SEAL Team 6, thought you were the greatest thing that ever came into America's existence. And
God
I want you
him.
To know our family has honored your sacrifice and your service. But here's what happened to me is after Aaron died, I realized that I could no longer sit on the sidelines and watch other people protect and defend this nation. He fought for it and he died for it on foreign soil. But we are being destroyed, as you've said, so adequately and so many times from within. And so if we're willing to send our sons and daughters to foreign nations to die to protect us from threats over there, then what the heck are we doing if we don't also fight what's happening inside our own government to make sure that that America is not demolished from within? And so that's why my husband and I both got up and we straightened our backs and we straightened our knees and we said, you know what, till the day we die, till we draw our last breath, we will not allow his sacrifice to be wasted. And we won't allow the pain we've experienced to be wasted. We are fighting for the sovereignty of our nation. It is an all-out war in every way. And, you know, you mentioned, and I don't want to drag this out, but you mentioned suicide rates. Why, I mean, is there any reason that any of us who are paying attention to our culture don't understand? We absolutely understand why suicide rates are so high.
Yes.
We've completely disrespected the value of life. We've put things in front of our children that never should have been in front of our children. We've shoved ideologies down their throats saying that people have no value. Glenn, just on and on it goes. And I don't know how somebody loses a child to suicide. My walk has been very different. You know, it's been a walk of pride with a straight back and, you know, a son who died fighting for his nation, all those valiant things. But I'm not without the thought sometimes, what if he hadn't died in battle and he'd come back here and been treated the way so many veterans have been treated in our society, and he died by suicide later on? Those thoughts have crossed my mind. If he felt that hopelessness in this society that left him and abandoned him after he gave so much for it, which is just another facet of what we're experiencing. So that's why I joined an organization called Moms for America. We are fighting for the sovereignty of our nation, and we are a national movement of moms who are out there to reclaim our culture for truth, family, and freedom. That's our motto, and that's what we're doing in every single way
so
we possibly can.
This was the number one target, and the culture has been lost, and it needs to be rejuvenated, but it truly has been lost. So I know you were just down on the border. We were talking about this just a minute ago. Imagine how abandoned you would feel if the United States government was bringing a bus to your small town and dropping 1,000 people off every single day.
We have made two trips to the border, and we have talked to moms and dads and kids that are living in those situations. Glenn, they are terrified for their life. And when did it become okay in our society to allow women and children to be the front line of defense for our nation? It is completely unacceptable. And then you talk to the border security agents down there that are completely overwhelmed by what's happening. And then you still have people like Nancy Pelosi hiding behind her walls, saying that walls are, you know, that walls are something we should be ashamed of wanting. It is, we've been to D.C. over and over again, and we've tried to reason with these legislators. And, you know, Glenn, the thing is we've realized this, and this was hard for me to come to the conclusion of, but we have realized that America will not be won by legislators in Washington, D.C.
It won't.
Will be restored at the dining room table. That's where it will be restored. And in the classrooms across this country, just the other night, I had the privilege of speaking at a Hillsdale College has charter schools going in across the country where, you know, they're refusing to teach revisionist history, and the children's reading assignments will be straight from the Constitution, not somebody's take on the Constitution. And, you know, this is the way that we'll regain our culture and we'll regain the sovereignty of who we are and start when we start educating the next generation about the greatness of America, instead of focusing on all of our failures. And there have been, we both know that there have been failures, but we're crying out loud, where else in the world are they beating down the gates to get in because they're so horrible, right? I mean, if we're so horrible, why is everybody trying to come to America? And we both know the answer to that, because we're free. Because brave men like my son and 1.3 million others have laid down their lives to protect the sovereignty of this nation. And again, moms across this nation are rising up. We did a State of the Union address when Nancy Pelosi played her little tricks with Donald Trump and all that went sideways. On that night, Moms for America brought women from across the country, and we held our own State of the Union. And, you know, by the end of that address, we had 1.4 million moms who were signing on saying, I want to be part of this movement, because moms are starving for leadership because they know what's happened to their children in the classroom. And they just need somebody to pal up with them and say, we can fight this battle together, but you got to have people on your right and left and on your six. We all know that instinctively, so that's what we're trying to do.
I will tell you, Karen, I'm not a mom. I'm a dad. And I feel so overwhelmed when I get home. I mean, Tanya and I just talked about this just the other night. We were having we've got a family crisis that we're dealing with right now. And I said, honey, I honestly don't, I'm going to explode. I don't know how to deal with the, you know, hey, can you think about how we're going to save the country, you know, for 12 hours a day? And then how are you going to save your family for the other 12 hours a day? I'm overwhelmed. And I think everybody feels this way. Everybody feels this way.
You're right. You're right. We're hearing that over and over again. And even people on the left have come to us and said, you know what, we're tired of the bickering. We're tired of the fighting. We're tired of the lack of civility. And you're right, Glenn. You shouldn't have to fight for the country all day, then go home and fight for your family, because there should be a country instilling the values in your family to keep you from having to fight that battle constantly.
Yes.
But we're failing. And that's where we have totally failed. And, you know, we've let people take this culture from us, this culture of goodness, of right behavior, of kindness, of biblical principles. I mean, go figure, right? You know?
So, Karen, talk to the person. Talk to the person who is, you know, just drop the kids off, and they are relating to what both of us are saying. Where do they start? What do you do?
What do you do? I tell you what, that where I am right now is join us, Moms for America. We have got so many programs for you to get involved in. If you want to get in the fight, we've got ways for you to get in the fight. Right now, I don't know if there's any Gold Star family members out there listening, people who have lost a child or a spouse or a parent to this war like me, but we're mounting a gigantic movement to Washington, D.C. as we speak of Gold Star families, where we are going to stand up and lock arms on the steps of the Capitol and say that we strengthen our resolve that America will never be a socialist government. We're doing things like that. We're doing these trips to the border where we're seeing firsthand what's happening to the families across this nation. We've got groups of moms meeting across the country. We've got, I don't even know what the number is now, thousands of women meeting across the country in small groups in their homes, studying the Constitution, studying how to bring these principles back into their home that have been so lost in our culture. So there are just myriad ways that people can get involved at Moms for America. We've tried to make this very broad. And Glenn, like you said, you're a dad. It's not just for moms. If you want to instill these values in your family members as well, and you want to spread this message of hope across America again, we don't care if you're a mom, a dad, if you've never had a child, we want you to lock arms with us and say, not on our watch, not in this generation. So go to our website, momsforamerica.us, or you can find us on Facebook at Moms for America or Moms March for America. We have both of those pages, and we would be honored for anybody to join forces with us. We are mounting a massive movement here, and we are going to reclaim our culture.
Karen, you give me hope.
Let me tell you something, Glenn. You gave me hope for a long time, and you know what? It's my time to stand up and fight. And I say this all the time. I am no longer willing to accept the things I cannot change, Glenn. I am changing the things I cannot accept. And I cannot accept what's happening in our culture. I can't accept the culture of weakness, where kids are so weak these days that they don't feel like there's any options for them but to be crippled citizens. No, we need to raise a new generation of fire-breathing children who will change the world. And that's what we can do when we join together and share our energy and our thoughts. So
the website where you can find her is officialkarenvaughn.com. The name of her book is World Changer. You can also join her at momsforamerica.us. Karen, it's been too long since you've been on the show. Let's not wait this long again. Thank you.
I'd love to talk again soon. You have a wonderful day.
God bless. Karen Vaughn.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.